I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Thursday, the 9th of October. And we're delighted to have Diane Ravitch with us to talk about the future of public education in this country. She is a widely respected education historian. She was born in Houston, Texas. The third of eight children, attended public schools in Houston from kindergarten through high school. She went to Wellesley, and then she got married and had children, and she began working on her first book in the late 60s. She worked in the administration of President George Herbert Walker Bush, where she was Assistant Secretary of Education and Counselor to Secretary of Education Lamar Alexander. From 97 to 2004, she was a member of the National Assessment Governing Board, which oversees the National Assessment of Educational Progress. She has written many, many books, Reign of Error, The Hoax of the Privatization Movement, and The Danger to America's Public Schools, The American Reader, More Than a Score, The New Uprising Against High-Stakes Testing, The Death and Life of the Great American School System, How Testing and Choice Are Undermining Education, and the list goes on. And we're here to talk about choice in charter schools and privatization of schools, the importance of public education, and welcoming your phone calls for Diane as well. Our phone number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. The email is talk@wpr.org. Facebook page is The Kathleen Dunn Show. Diane is a research professor of education at New York University and, of course, a historian of education. Diane Ravitch, thank you very much for being with us.
Well, I'm delighted to be with you, and the only thing you didn't mention is that my blog is approaching 15 million page views in a little more than 2 years.
Is it so, really? 15 million.
Given all of those other things I've done, being a blogger is my new occupation.
Yeah, and you do it very well, and good for you.
Thank you.
You're an educational historian as well. Have we always, during the last 100 years of public education in this country, been looking at people who want to tweak it or who want to throw it out and privatize it? Or is what we're experiencing now new, Diane?
I would say what's happening today is unprecedented in American history.
Really?
We have always had people who complained about the public schools, but their complaints were, why isn't there more funding? Why isn't there better teacher training? Why aren't the standards higher? Why isn't the curriculum different, et cetera? People always had things they wanted to make better or different. But what we're experiencing now is unprecedented because we have a combination, our country has a combination of, on the one hand, philanthropists like the Walton Foundation, which is way to the right, the Gates Foundation, the Broad Foundation, and many others, added to that the federal government and added to that Wall Street wanting to privatize public schools. And many of them really want to do it because they believe in the free market system. They believe that competition will make schools better, and that if the free market takes hold, we'll see innovation and blah, blah, blah. The fact is there's not a high-performing nation in the world that's doing what we're doing. What we're doing is unprecedented in our history and also unprecedented in the rest of the world, except for places like Chile and Sweden.
Hmm. Don't people feel on some level, or I don't know why they're not even thinking about this, that they're taking a huge gamble on this because public education really has worked so well for so many for so long?
Well, it is a huge gamble. And Wisconsin, for example, has about the highest graduation rate in the country. Yesterday I was speaking in Connecticut. Connecticut's got one of the best school systems in the country, and yet it's led by a governor and a state commissioner who keep saying how terrible the schools are, and it's simply a lie. The same thing is true in New Jersey, where Governor Christie rants about the schools as failure factories, and the three top performing states in the country, in terms of NAEP test scores, that's the federal test scores, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and New Jersey, high school graduation rates, top-performing state, Wisconsin. And yet we have these so-called reformers. What they really want is to perform a historic and really risky experiment on our public schools, and that is to underfund them, to send kids off to enroll in church schools and in voucher schools and in charter schools run by unqualified people. In some states, like Michigan, your neighbor, most of the charter schools are for-profit. And for-profit schools have something in common. They all try to cut costs. So they like to have uncertified teachers, inexperienced teachers. And I don't understand why anyone thinks this will make education better, because it doesn't.
And so who gets to profit from this? Who's making money from this?
Well, there are investors. There are for-profit charter chains. There is a federal program, a tax break called the New Markets Tax Credit, where investors can literally double their money in 7 years by investing in the construction of charter schools. There are charters that are getting millions of dollars from philanthropists, and while they may be legally nonprofit, the heads of these charters are being paid salaries that would be unimaginable in the public sector. We have a charter chain in New York City, our biggest charter chain, the head of it, she's now running, I think, 31 schools, but that's an enrollment of about less than 10,000 students. She's being paid close to $600,000
a year. Oh, my goodness, really?
That's a lot of money for somebody running less, you know, what amounts to a small school district.
So people are saying when they sell these ideas that the reason is that we want to go after low-performing schools. There has to be a better way to teach people to give them a great shot at the American dream. Why don't you give us some authentic reform success stories in public schools? What does it take?
Well, I think that what works is, first of all, most of our schools are working very well indeed. I mean, we keep forgetting we are the most successful nation in the world in terms of technology, innovation, cultural events. American culture permeates the world for good and for bad. We have an incredibly dynamic and innovative culture, and 90% of our people came from public schools. So I think our public schools do incredibly well, particularly because they're facing such huge challenges today. We have, amongst the industrialized nations of the world, we have the highest child poverty rate in the world. Almost a quarter of our children live in poverty. And in some cities, that number is 30%, 35%, 40%. So teachers are coping with unbelievable demands because of the kids coming, not having had a meal, not having seen a doctor. Mm-hmm. You know, there are all of these issues having to do with poverty. And then we have huge numbers of English language learners. And I have met many teachers who talk about classrooms where they have kids with disabilities, kids who are reading on a third grade level, but they're in ninth grade. And they said, if only I could bring some of these politicians in to see what my class looks like, how I have 25 kids and most of them are non-readers, not because because they're special education, because they have disabilities, and these kids need small classes. They need intensive help and remediation, and they're never going to be proficient. Most of them will never be proficient because they have been so severely damaged by the conditions of their lives.
What's amazing to me is that we've put politicians and we have put people who are not at the table, who aren't teachers, who aren't school administrators, in charge of what our policy is going to be on education. I mean, that seems kind of goofy, doesn't it? To say nothing of the fact it could be damaging.
You know, I was going to say it's worse than goofy. It's actually damaging, which is your word, and you're exactly right. And what I hear from teachers, and I heard it again yesterday when I was visiting Quinnipiac College in Connecticut, university, not college, teachers saying, how did I get shut out of the policymaking process? Why did I lose my autonomy? Why am I now in a position as a teacher? After 20 years, I can't make decisions. Instead, I just follow orders. And who's writing those orders? In some states, like Connecticut, they're being written by people who never taught a day in their life. In many other states, they're being written by people who may have taught for a year or 2 years, and they're telling experienced teachers how to teach and what to teach. Our Secretary of Education has never been a teacher. Many state superintendents have never taught. And the federal government plays a role today that it has never played in the past. This started with George W. Bush's No Child Left Behind. And that is the federal government telling schools that they have to meet impossible goals. So you had No Child Left Behind passed in 2001, signed into law in January 2002, saying that every child in America will be proficient by the year 2014 in math and in reading. Well, that's a ridiculous goal. There's no country in the world where every child is proficient. So at least in theory, by No Child Left Behind, which is still on the books, every school in America is a failing school. Well, if you set impossible goals, you create failure. And that's exactly what No Child Left Behind did. And Arne Duncan and Barack Obama's race to the top, in its way, is even worse because it's still No Child Left Behind, plus judge teachers by the test scores of their students. And that's a very bad and stupid idea because the teachers who are teaching special education will not see big test scores. The ones who are teaching the neediest children will look like bad teachers, and the ones teaching in affluent districts will look like really good teachers. You're really judging people by who are they teaching rather than their quality as a teacher.
Diane Ravitch is our guest this hour. She is research professor of education at NYU. She was in the administration of President George Herbert Walker Bush, where she worked as Assistant Secretary of Education. She has written many, many books, and as she said at the top of the show, her blog now, which is DianeRavitchAltogether.net, has had 15 million hits in the last 2 years. That's a lot. A lot going on with education. Are you concerned about the future of education? What do you think of charter schools? What do you think of private schools? What do you think about companies for profit getting involved in education? Is it a cornerstone of the democratic country in which we live? And are you worried about it? We welcome phone calls for Diane. Our phone number on air is 800-486-8655. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Kathleen Dunn with KP Whaley, and this is the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive. Our goal is to keep bringing you topics like education. We talk about it frequently. Diane Ravitch, our guest this hour, and it's your support that makes that happen. Please give now. Any amount makes a difference. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
That's right. We heard from 78 listeners last hour. Thank you.
Really?
Thank you each for those pledges. And I would love to see 78 pledges this hour, although our goal is a little shorter than that. Maybe you want to make a special pledge for your favorite teacher.
Absolutely.
Or a pledge for education.
Absolutely. For your educational experience. If you'll want to make that pledge, because your gift of any amount automatically will enter you as well for 2 tickets in a WPR trip. So help us make our goal 33 calls this hour. It's our last hour for this show to ask for your contribution to all that we do. Make a contribution now at WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
You know, on the Ideas Network, you hear diverse viewpoints from different guests and listeners, also bringing in a really unique perspective to the conversation as well. Because there's so much good food for thought on these programs, you probably find yourself starting conversations with, you know, yesterday on WPR I heard this, or
absolutely,
you're telling your friends, did you hear
time
on WPR that thing? And it's really time to take action now to participate in making this show happen with your support. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And everyone who pledges this drive will be entered in a drawing for 2 tickets on a WPR trip. You choose the Rhine River, Alaska, or France, and you could be the lucky winner. When you make a pledge of any amount at WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
And you don't have to make a pledge to participate. You can also send a postcard with your name, address, email, telephone number to WPR Trip Drawing, 821 University Avenue in Madison, Wisconsin, 53706. You can, again, enter by sending that postcard, or just to make it much, much simpler, make a pledge now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
All rise. Department 1 of the Superior Court is now back in session. Honorable Judge Wilson presiding.
Please be seated. Attorney Mailer, it's your turn to cross-examine the expert witness.
Thank you, Your Honor. Now, sir, remind us, you're a soil scientist?
That's right.
And you said the soil in the victim's garden matched the soil on my client's shoes?
Yes, they were both silty with an unusual amount of copper.
Would you say that soil is ideally suited to growing cucumbers?
What I'm sure of is the soil in the victim's garden is the very same soil in the shoes of the accused.
There have been many coyote sightings in the neighborhood recently. Is it possible that coyote droppings are enriching the soil for better resistance to tomato blight?
Your Honor, cucumbers, coyote droppings, tomato blight?
Attorney Mueller, I have to request that you stick with the issue at hand, and that's defending your client from some very serious charges.
Certainly, but can't we just ask about common garden insects before moving on?
Yes, Larry Mueller could be a defense attorney. But isn't it better that he's hosting the Larry Mueller Show on WPR? Your support makes WPR programs possible and gets to the bottom of that tomato blight problem. Give now. Here's someone to tell you how.
Make your donation in support of the programs you count on. WPR.org, 888-202-2552. Whether your pledge is $5 a month, $100 a month, we really do appreciate, and actually we count on your gift.
That's right. And you can think about becoming a sustainer as well. You can choose a monthly gift amount and set it up to come from your bank account automatically or a credit card. It'll continue until you decide to adjust it, and that really helps us budget.
WPR is probably one of those things that you never want to live without. You might as well support it with a convenient and flexible sustaining membership. It's very easy. A gift of $5 or $10 a month, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
WPR has been around for a long time, a little longer than Kathleen on this show,
it's
right? I think 100
it's been a long
years,
time.
Right?
Yeah.
Kathleen, not that long. But we've been around that long, and we're committed to quality. The quality is possible thanks to you, because listener donations really do make up the single largest piece of our budget.
Your contribution makes this program possible, so many others as well. You're part of the quality that you hear every day on WPR. When you donate, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
And we couldn't make giving any easier. It just takes a few minutes of your time. You simply tell us your name, your contact information, how much you want to give, and then how you'd like to pay it. You can give in a one lump sum, or you can also become a monthly sustainer. No matter how you choose to give or how much you choose to give, please use the next few minutes to support the station that you count on, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You might be wondering, how much should I give? Well, it's up to you. Your contribution of any amount will be turned into our wonderful programs. They'll keep you informed and entertained all year long.
And that's what makes becoming a member really great. You make your pledge in any amount right now, WPR.org, or call 888-202-2552. And when you do, please, you'll learn that you play a really essential part in funding the programs that you count on here every day.
And we have KP27, more pledges to go, and we have, you know, over a half hour to do that, so it's definitely possible.
Definitely possible.
Yeah, your gift at WPR.org, 888-202-2552, really helps and enters you in a drawing for the two tickets on the WPR trip. If you're a sustainer, you don't need to worry because you're
gotcha. We got you, right?
We got you back.
Become a sustainer. We got you. But if you do pledge now, you can also ask for these cool WPR logo secure ID tags with a gift of just $5 a month. The tags are similar to luggage tags, but they don't show your contact information. They're smaller, and then they have a way of finding their way back to you.
Yeah, and you can ask for the tags when you pledge $5 a month, $60 or more. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Thanks to everyone who's pledging. Thanks to you, sustainers. And make today the day that you could increase your support of WPR. Maybe you became a sustainer a long time ago and you don't even remember how much you gave. Now's a good time to check in. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Thank you very much, KP Whaley. Diane Ravitch is our guest, and we're going to go to phone calls on her. Do you think that there is a plot against public education? What do you think of charter schools, privatization efforts, school reform? She's a historian. She knows this area well, and she also knows about what's happening now nationally, in terms of testing, in terms of Common Core. Feel free to go into those areas as well. Our number for on air is 800-486-8655. And we start our calls with Charlene in Fenimore. Hi, Charlene.
Yes.
Hi, go right ahead.
Yes, I'm responding to the comment that parochial education teachers aren't necessarily qualified to teach. I have attended 20-plus years in parochial education, plus taught 10 years myself in three different states. And it's not necessarily that they aren't qualified. It is more, I think, that maybe all qualified teachers aren't able to teach. And that's a bigger issue that, you know, you may have the educational background, but you don't have the ability to teach that to students. And that's where we need to look as well as the qualifications.
Diane.
Well, actually, I didn't say that parochial school teachers are unqualified. I said that there are many voucher schools that have uncertified teachers. And these voucher schools are, in many instances, ragtag schools. There was just an article by Ruth Conniff in The Progressive who visited a number of voucher schools in Milwaukee, and she was shocked to see that they were call themselves religious schools, but they weren't actually attached to any particular religion. And they these schools existed in sometimes filthy quarters with uncertified teachers, and the kids weren't learning anything.
And there is a different set of qualifications. Some of this has to do with how we're valuing teachers or not valuing teachers in our society right now. But there are some of these for-profit schools that take people in who don't have teaching certificates, who don't probably, who haven't been in the business for some period of time, because you become a better teacher the more you teach.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's also the case that the for-profit charter chains don't want experienced teachers because they cost too much. So they prefer to have young teachers, and if they leave in 2 or 3 years, that's good because they'll never hang around long enough to get benefits or pensions.
Thank you, Charlene, for your call. Paul in Milwaukee. Hi.
Well, hi, Kathleen.
Hi, Paul.
I've become concerned lately about the homeschool movement, which seems to have largely been taken over by the radical religious right. And it worries me that all these kids are being taught creationism out of materials produced by Bob Jones University. And I think, among other things, it just deepens the fractures that already exist in American society as a whole. And I was wondering what Ms. Ravitch had to say about this, if anything.
Well, I think I'm concerned about the homeschool movement because there are now some 2 million children being homeschooled, and that means that they're learning what their parents know, but they're not learning beyond what their parents know. And we taught, there's a lot of chatter in the air, rhetoric from reformers about how we want children prepared for the 21st century. They're learning what their parents learned in the 1940s or 50s or 60s, so they're not being prepared for the 21st century. And that's looking at it just as a strictly non-religious thing. But I've seen the materials from Bob Jones University. I think they're called ABC Text or ABK or something like that. And it's a God-centered curriculum, which explains science in terms of creationism and explains history in terms of religious belief. And this, even mathematics is subject to religious interpretation. So I think that's a real concern. I think it's a concern with vouchers. And we, as you know, Wisconsin has vouchers, and North Carolina now has vouchers. The school that got the largest number of vouchers in North Carolina is the Greensboro Islamic Academy. I mean, I don't believe that those conservative Christians in the legislature thought that they were funding Islamic education, but in fact they are. Louisiana has vouchers. We have not in this country believed in funding, using public money for religious schools. There has been for many, many decades the belief that church and state should be separate and that church can do whatever it wants to do, but that the state supports public education as a non-sectarian, non-religious way of teaching children. And that line between church and state is being eroded today in probably 15 states, and it is very worrisome, not only with homeschooling, but with literally with state support for religious schools.
Thank you, Paul. Anne in Madison, hi.
Hi. I would call this taxation without representation because really these schools are not accountable to the public. And, of course, this is taxpayers' money, so it's not really even privatization. It's just handing over public money to these private entities. And a man named Alex Molnar, who used to be a professor of education at UW-Milwaukee, wrote a book in 1996 entitled Giving Kids the Business, the Commercialization of America's Schools, and he exposed all the groups that were behind this movement. He talks about Lamar Alexander, you know, and its instigation long ago, or 2 decades ago or more, and also the Bradley Foundation, which has had a huge role in funding far-right-wing corporate tanks and candidates and, you know, things like the American Enterprise Institute. And I wondered if you knew of, I don't know where he is now. I don't believe he's still in Wisconsin. He ran for superintendent of public instruction about 15 years ago and lost. But, you know, he talks in detail about what's coming, and everything he said in that book, anyway, has come true.
Well, he was right on, and he, I think, right now is associated with something called the National Education Policy Center at the University of Colorado in Boulder. Things are actually far worse than he predicted, because it isn't just a matter of corporations selling their goods in schools. They're corporations literally taking over schools and skimming public money to run schools. There was just an example recently in Michigan where a school district, and this almost always happens in districts that are overwhelmingly non-white, African-American. There were two or three school districts where Governor Snyder appointed an emergency manager who then turned the whole school district over to a private charter corporation run for profit. One of these just gave up its charter and said they knew they couldn't do any better. They were trying to pay teachers the least possible. They weren't getting very good teachers. The teachers didn't stay very long. And needless to say, they were not giving better education to the students. Now they're trying out a different charter chain. But Governor Snyder in Michigan is determined to privatize as many schools as possible, and they hand them over to corporations. So everything that Alex Molnar predicted has come true, only it's much worse.
And do we have they've been around long enough, some of these schools, for us to have some kind of idea of how well they're performing. Have the children been hurt? Are we seeing any success stories in New Orleans or other places?
Well, New Orleans turns out to be one of the biggest hoaxes of our country. In New Orleans, almost all the schools are charter schools. They're staffed largely with Teach for America teachers. When Hurricane Katrina took place, every teacher in the city, 7,500 teachers, was fired without any evaluation at all. Three-quarters of those teachers were African-American teachers. They've had a lawsuit that's been running since 2005 that's about to come to a head, in which the state of Louisiana may have to pay a penalty of almost $1 billion to
all
these teachers that were fired. So we're waiting to see the results of that. But in terms of the charters themselves, there is no success story there. The successful charters there have selective admissions, where you have to pass a test to get in. And the non-selective ones are almost all rated either D or F by the state of Louisiana, which is very pro-charter. So even with the state on their side, these are failing schools by any measure.
Ann, thanks for your call. We go next to Aaron in Madison. Hi, Aaron.
Hi.
Hi.
I was just wondering, when I was in school about 30 years ago, I was placed in special education, and I was in the same, this is how bad it was, I was in the same reading book for six straight years, and found that when I got out years later, I tried to go to college, and I was completely unprepared. I didn't understand the AP writing standards or anything like that, and it just seems that kids that get lumped into special education, because it's not just for kids who have, you know, learning disabilities, it's for kids who have trouble learning in just a regular classroom setting.
Uh-huh.
And I was wondering what your guest thought about that and what she thinks maybe schools could do to change that.
Well, one of the things that's happened is that there's a federal law that requires that any student that has any kind of disability gets extra help, gets smaller classrooms, gets, in many cases, a class of only four or five. This is one of the, when people say that American education is too expensive, what they're really referring to is the very large cost of special education for students with disabilities. And that's required both by federal law and also by court orders. So that's just the way it is. We have to do everything we can for every student we have. I think in the time you were in school, the laws and court orders probably had not taken effect.
And thank you very much, Aaron, for your call. We have time for one or two more phone calls for Diane Ravitch. Our number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. So, Diane, what about, I know that there's a conference coming up this Saturday that you're a part of that's going to look at many of these issues. What needs to happen in terms of public schools getting respect, teachers getting respect, and for us to sit at the table and actually figure out how to help all students, poor students, special needs students, everybody to succeed in school?
Well, the conference this Saturday is the Network for Public Education, and it's an organization that I hope to create in order to bring together grassroots groups from across the country. What I've learned largely through my blog and through tweeting is that there are parents and there are teachers all over the country who are upset about what's happening. And the funny thing is, if you look at public opinion polls, people will say American education is in big trouble because they've heard this for years on network television.
Right.
They've heard it from Arne Duncan. They've heard it from the Republicans and now from the Democrats. And yet if you ask the same people, how is your school that your own child goes to, they'll say, oh, our neighborhood school is a terrific school. We have wonderful teachers, and something like close to 80% of parents give a high rating to their own neighborhood school. So there is a fundamental respect for public education. There is a fundamental respect for teachers. And I think that educators and parents have to work together to build on that respect. And what I always say to teachers is, invite your local civic leaders into your classroom. Let them see what happens. Let them see what happens when your class is too large. Let them see what happens with the kids with disabilities and the kind of resources they do or do not have. And I think the more the public understands that there is a genuine threat to privatized public education, the more they will organize to fight for their public schools. Bob Herbert, who used to be a columnist for the New York Times and was there for many years, has just written a book, the title which escapes me for the second. I think it's called Losing Our Way, where he has a chapter on public education called The Plot Against Public Education. And I'm loath to use that term plot, but in fact there are all of these incredibly wealthy people who want to monetize public education. They see it as a $700 billion sector just waiting to be tapped, where they can sell technology, where all testing will be online, and so everybody has to own a personal computer, and every school has to buy more. More money will be diverted to consultants and to this group and that group. So I think that as the public begins to understand this, they will rally to public education, but they don't understand it yet. That's the job of educators and parents, is to become active and do public education.
Yeah, and you quote Herbert in one of your blogs this week.
Yes.
How long can school systems continue to pursue market-based reforms that have failed year after demoralizing year to improve the education of the nation's most disadvantaged children? I mean, it's a valid question.
Yes, what we know is if you look back over the past dozen years of No Child Left Behind from George W. Bush and Race to the Top from the Obama administration, it's had no impact whatsoever on either on our international test scores, SAT scores. It's been a failure. So we have to change direction. We have to invest in the schools we have, the teachers we have, make them far better. We should have more arts classes. Everyone should have the opportunity to be involved in music and things that delight the soul, so that education is not simply testing, because the test, test, test approach has failed. It's been tried now for 12 years. It didn't work. We should reduce class sizes wherever necessary and make our schools something that the whole community can be proud of.
Diane Ravitch is our guest. We have a few more minutes with her, and we are also in a pledge drive. If this topic of education, and I know it is, every time we talk about education, and I'm trained as a school teacher, too, so it's near and dear to my heart. And it is to all of us. We all went to school, right? We have children who all go to school. So we try to spend a lot of time on this. Our pledge number is 888-202-2552, 888-202-2552. Let's take some more phone calls. We go to Laura in Madison next. Hi, Laura.
Hi. I was wondering if Dr. Ravitch could talk about the different things or districts around the country are doing to fight against the privatization of schools?
Did you get that, Diane?
I'm sorry, is the question the districts that are fighting it?
What they're doing to fight privatization.
Well, I think that the districts that are most successful in fighting it are districts that are not inner city districts. One of the reasons that the privatization movement has really focused on the inner city is because it's populated in many cities by powerless people of color who feel nobody cares what their opinion is. And many of their school systems are run by the state, and they have absolutely nothing to say about what happens. So in a state like New Jersey, the poorest districts, which are almost all black districts, are run by the state, and Governor Christie wants to privatize them, and there is nothing the districts can do to stop it. Where people have successfully resisted it have been every time the privatization movement tries to go into the suburbs, white parents are not powerless, and black parents in the suburbs are not powerless. And so they have resisted so far the intrusion of this privatization movement, but it is moving very rapidly in all of our cities, in Washington, D.C., and St. Louis, in Kansas City, in Detroit, in Milwaukee. I mean, you can just name city after city, Los Angeles, there'll be a point, there's a tipping point where there'll be more privately managed schools than there are public schools. And very honestly, that's a terrible thing because public education is a fundamental democratic institution. So this is an attack not just on schools, but on democracy.
Yeah. One more call for you, Ruth in Cumberland. Hi, Ruth.
Hi, Kathleen. My daughter's a part of a charter school. It's not private. It's public. It's within the school. But she just loves it. And, I just wanted to give a shout-out. There are a lot of good charter schools out there.
And so what kind of charter?
Poor ones too, but you know, there's good ones too.
What kind of charter is it, Ruth?
It's a research charter school. They're outside all the time doing tests. They have to do demonstrations. They have community members come in and they do displays and talk about what they've learned. And I own a dairy farm, and actually, the kids, 40 kids, are in the charter school. They're coming out to my dairy farm to learn reproduction on cows next week.
So, oh. Diane.
Well, that sounds very nice. And I think there are, and I've seen and heard of outlier charter schools. Unfortunately, they're not the majority anymore. The majority are the corporate chains, and the corporate chains are growing. Arne Duncan just yesterday announced a $36 million grant to some of the biggest corporate chains. Actually, the biggest charter chain in the U.S. is run by a Turkish organization and staffed largely by Turkish teachers.
Really?
And the board, they're called Gulen schools, G-U-L-E-N. There are over 150 Gulen charter schools that are part of the biggest chain in the country. So I'm not saying that every charter school is bad, but these corporate charter schools aim to replace public schools, and some of them are for-profit. The for-profit ones, I think, personally, should be banned. I don't think any kind of education should be operated for profit. The for-profit colleges are a scandal, and the same is true for the for-profit charter schools.
And I was wrong. One more call. Karen in Racine. Hi, Karen.
Hi. I just wanted to say my mother was a teacher in a one-room schoolhouse back in the late 30s. And at the age of 79, when they had moved up to a lake in northern Wisconsin, a gentleman came to the door and he asked for my mother with her maiden name if she lived there. And my mom said, well, I haven't been that name for 55 years, but yeah, that's me. Can I help you? And he said, I had you as a teacher in school, and I just wanted to look you up. He had moved down to North Carolina. He said, I just wanted to look you up to tell you what an important part of my life you were. Mm. And he was a retired doctor at that point.
Mm.
My sister's a special ed teacher in public school, and my husband and I don't have children. We know people who don't. Some people say, well, I don't have children. Why should I pay school taxes? My husband says, well, do you want a doctor who's not educated or a nurse's aide in a nursing home who's not educated? Hmm. I just think public education is the only way to go.
Thank you very much, Karen, for the call. It is. That's what's so amazing about this whole issue to me, Diane, is that you don't fool around with education because it is so darn important to all of our lives, to the very functioning of our country.
Well, yes, and the reason that I'm so passionate about this issue is that public education is a public responsibility. And when you hear people say, well, why don't we turn it over to the private sector? The private sector does it better. That's not true because police protection is part of the public sector. Fire protection is the public sector. Public beaches, public forests, responsibility for the quality of the water and the air. Public education is what we must do. And so many of these schools, and forgive me if I seem to be overgeneralizing, so many of the charter schools get high test scores by leaving out the kids with the biggest issues. They leave out the kids with disabilities. They leave out the kids who are English language learners, and that drives their scores up. But public education must take everybody. That's the law. And I don't think we should have a dual school system. We should have one publicly funded system that is our responsibility. It's a civic obligation. Whether you send your children to private school and pay for it or to religious school, that's your prerogative. And even if you have no children, you still have a responsibility to support public education because that's our future as a nation.
Diane Ravitch, thank you so much. Diane Ravitch, our guest, author of so many books. She was Assistant Secretary of Education in the George Herbert Walker Bush administration, used to be a believer in vouchers and charters, and now she's concerned about the future of public education. She mentioned Bob Herbert's book, and we are going to get him on a show not too long from now. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Kathleen Dunn with KP Whaley, and this is the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive. You count on WPR's Ideas Network for talk about issues that matter to you. And WPR counts on you to keep these discussions on the air. Give at WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
That's right. We still only have just 10 minutes, and we're looking for another 14 pledges. So please go to the phones now and pledge. Here's a great reason to become a member. You can give any amount and be entered in to win two tickets on a WPR trip. You can choose to cruise the Rhine River in Europe, discover Alaska, or sample the French lifestyle. And thank you if you've already given. If you haven't, really, now is the time to do it. We have 10 minutes left for Kathleen's show, and you can do so at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know you can get headlines and sound bites in many other places, but where do you go for in-depth discussion?
You go here, the Ideas Network, of course. Here, you don't just get a 20-second sound clip or a few minutes of back and forth. You really, I mean, how long, an hour discussion with the Diane Ravitch, you know, former Assistant Secretary of Education. You can only get that here at WPR. It's a great source of in-depth information, and that's why your support is crucial. Please go to the phones now, 888-202-2552, and help make it possible.
New members are important parts of these fund drives. Every single member makes a difference because listener support is really such an important part of the funding. It makes WPR programs possible.
And whether you tune in for one favorite program or you find yourself checking in throughout the day or the week, you're getting value from what you hear. And if you've never given before, start off with just a pledge of $5 a month. It's easy, it feels good, and you can do so at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Listening to Wisconsin Public Radio makes driving, working, even sitting down in your favorite chair a different experience. It's really a much better experience.
And your support makes WPR possible. It turns ordinary activities like washing your dishes into extraordinary activities like washing your dishes and learning something amazing. Your life is really better with WPR in it. So give now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Bonjour, I'm Judith Sears Poisson, encouraging you to join me on a trip to France. Make a pledge of any amount during this membership drive, and you'll be entered to win a trip for two. If you win, you'll have three trips to choose from. But of course, I hope you'll choose France. We'll tour Paris, Normandy, and Brittany in May. We'll sample wine, cheese, and pastries, and we'll walk through beautiful villages steeped in history. Your pledge of any amount gets you entered, but no contribution is necessary to win. Find the details and the fine print at WPR.org/drawing. Or enter with your pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Bonne chance et à bientôt.
Again, go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your pledge. I'm Kathleen Dunn with KP Whaley. We've just got a few minutes left in our show to ask for your support of WPR. Your gift, $10, $15 a month. We thank you for it.
And your pledge right now says, I value this program, and I want more of it. It makes me think. It makes me laugh. It makes me educated. You fill in the blank with how you feel when you hear this show. And those are powerful feelings, and you make a powerful statement when you support what you value, what you believe in, and what you've come to expect. Join now. Renew now. Make an extra gift now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I know there are many of you, and rightfully so, who love WPR because it's your source for intelligent radio. There are bills that are associated with high-quality radio, and that's where you come in. It is true that your support is so darn important.
And it's super easy as well. You'll be finished in no time. A contribution of any amount, say $5 or $10 a month, WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and help make it possible.
And we're looking for 12 more pledges. We need to get these. It's our last time coming at you at this pledge drive, KP and Kathleen. So we've got how many minutes, KP?
We've just got about 8 minutes.
Minutes to get those 12 pledges.
8 minutes. We can do this.
Absolutely.
Go to the phones now, 202-2552. That's 888-202-2552, or you can pledge online at WPR.org. We have lots of thank you gifts, including secure ID tags for your luggage or phones or whatever you want to use them for. It's a $5 a month contribution. You'll feel good. We'll feel great.
Absolutely. Zoe from Madison says, when I turn on the radio, I hear familiar voices. It's almost as though longtime friends are talking to me personally, which is a really nice thing to say.
And talking about things to say, we've had a lot to say this week.
We have talked a lot.
We have talked to the former Assistant Secretary of Education.
Yes.
We've talked to the former
Secretary of Labor.
We've talked to the most prominent librarian in the country. All of those kinds of topics you've come to expect on the Kathleen Dunn Show. And if you appreciate that, we really do need your support now. We just got a few minutes left for the last pledge show of Kathleen's week, and we would really appreciate it if you could go to the phones now and make a pledge of support. Even if it's $5 a month or a $5 lump sum, that would be fine with us. 888-202-2552. Just say, we appreciate this show, and we do so with a little bit of our financial support.
9 pledges to go in the next few minutes. Let's make this goal if we can. It's very easy. It just takes a few minutes, and you'll get so much back. Think of what you get all day long on this network. You may want to consider a 9XM leadership gift of $200 a month or more.
That really only comes down to less than $8 a day, and it makes it this show, the talk, the news, the music, the entertainment, all those things you count on from WPR, it makes that possible. So give now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And one listener made their donation and said, we could live without WPR, but we sure wouldn't want to.
True.
If you think about something going away, it would be such a hard thing to not have this service here. So I'm sure many of you feel the same way. It makes your life better to listen to WPR.
Yeah, whether it's keeping up with the news or enjoying music or laughing on the weekends, you get from either this show or all the shows, there's always something really fun and interesting to listen to.
So it makes your life better, which means we ask you to help fund it and help it keep making your life better. Your pledge of support right now, WPR.org, 888-202-2552 is so important.
That's right. Diane talked about the public sector and how important education is and why we should keep it in the public sector. In a way, WPR is like that as well. Your support keeps this going. It keeps all of these entertaining and interesting conversations coming to you, so we all enjoy it and we all support it by giving a little bit of money. 888-202-2552. Make a pledge and show that you want to keep this station going, keep this network going, and all these great conversations.
And you may be saying to yourself, I'll pledge next time. Well, this is it. This is the last for this particular show, the last couple minutes you have to pledge to all that we have happily given to you over the past of, well, I've been 21 years. I've been here. It's a long time. So if you would like to show your support to this program and all that KP does, do it now, and we'll feel thankful, and you do it by calling 888-202-2552.
No time for delay. Join the community of people who come together to make great radio. Pledge now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Kathleen, we still need nine more pledges. We can get nine pledges.
Yeah, we ought to be able to, KP. We got a few minutes left here, so just pledge right now. And we'll thank you very much for it and keep giving you terrific programs. We have great programs ahead. It is amazing what you do every day here and how we keep doing this day after day with absolutely marvelous guests. I mean, they're just terrific.
And we have a whole slate coming up next week as well. We're talking again about the voting issues and what you need to know to get out to the polls and make sure that your vote counts.
Yeah, that was a big show yesterday. We had a lot of people call. And also, think of the political coverage that this station gives you as we're in an important midterm tomorrow night again at 7 on, not again, it's the first time it's going to happen on Wisconsin Public Radio, the first of two gubernatorial debates sponsored by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association, incumbent Governor Scott Walker, Democratic challenger Mary Burke, and then you can tune into Here and Now on Wisconsin Public Television. We really do top notch political reporting. Nobody does it better.
Absolutely.
Nobody does.
Absolutely. And that's why you want to give your quick support right now. Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Make sure that we can continue to bring these amazing and incredible political coverage and fun, too. We laugh.
We have a good time. We do have fun.
We talked about donkeys this week.
I know. We had a wonderful time with donkeys. Yeah, that was great. It just, some of the shows just touch your heart so much, don't they? You just feel better about living. You can't put a price tag on that, but we're asking you to put a price tag on it.
But the price tag is whatever you can afford.
Absolutely. 888-202-2552. Thanks for all of your pledges. KP, thank you very much. Katie Madsen, thanks for producing. And Lisa Nalbandian for production. And
Adam,
thanks
for
your
pledges.
And oh, yeah, Adam for bringing food. You brought food. Lisa brought food. Andrea brought food. Katie brought food. Thanks, everybody.